Welcome to Season 3 of Soccer Over Gotham, an NWSL podcast covering New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. Hosted by Ruby Pinto and Gary Gibson. Welcome to episode 91 of Soccer Over Gotham. This is the championship edition. We have a great show for all of you. Gary, what do we have in this episode?
For the first time in NWSL club history, New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC are champions. Is this real life? I mean, what a game. This game had everything. We got more NWSL awards on this show. We got to break down this amazing, amazing match. We're going to celebrate some of the storylines of this game and of this season. We'll look forward to the offseason and see what is next. Jenna Tinelli, best friend of the show, is going to join us for this one. We survived a championship run. It still does not feel real. Worst to first, stuff of legends. A team of destiny, NWSL champs, however you want to say it. How are you all feeling right now?
Well, every time you keep saying, is this real life? I just want to sing Bohemian Rhapsody. So I'm just like, is this just fantasy? No, but it was just so surreal. Like the whole game, I was just kind of like, oh, like, I guess this is happening right now. Like, especially like not being there, which sucked so much. But it really just felt like a dream that it was happening. But it was awesome.
Yeah. How about you, Ruby?
I mean, it's a good dream. And it just kept getting better and better since the playoffs. I mean, we barely made it to the playoffs. We were like, you know, till the last minute decision day, waiting to see if they were going to make it. And they did. And then we were like, all right, we're in the playoffs now. Let's see if we can make it a little further. And they made it. And then, well, now we have Portland in the way. Let's see if we're going to beat Portland. And they did until this day. And they made it to the finals. Like you said, surreal. We couldn't believe it every step of the way. But it's real.
Name a more iconic duo than Neely Martin and that pink goalie jersey.
me and candy corn.
Oh, that's true. Woo. That is true.
And iced coffee. No, yep. I know that was crazy. I was like, you have got to be kidding me, because Juan in the pre-match press conference was already talking, like I had asked him about all the kind of the parallels of coming back to play the championship match on the final that made them lose Abby Smith, Taylor Smith, McCall Zerboni, and Midge, not the whole season, but, you know, re-aggravated her injury or whatever that case was. So made them lose four players, three for the rest of the season, and coming back and having a chance to like prove themselves again at this field, you know, even though different opponent. And he said, oh, it feels like a movie. And so when Neely had to go in goal again, I couldn't believe it. I was just like, this is like the script is scripting. Like I was just like mouth on the floor, but I mean, she did it. She did it again. She's part of the GK union.
She is. And it's things that you can't buy the pink jerseys.
I want that. So I want a pink jersey that says Martin on the back. I need it. Yeah. Gotham. I already tagged y'all on this, but make it happen. Yeah.
And I just want to say shout out again to Cloud9, the traveling supporters. They have been through it all with this club. When this club was at its lowest, they stayed. They fought. They kept singing. They made a lot of fun, loud noise from your CAC field at Rutgers to Red Bull Arena. They deserve all the joy and all the relief.
They really do. And I said to a bunch of them on either Saturday night or Sunday morning, I forget when, but I said, you know, I hope that you guys are just enjoying this win so much. You deserve it. You've stuck by this team through thick and thin, been there through it all from, you know, early days. And it's just incredible to have them finally get that. And I'm so glad that a bunch were able to make the trek out to San Diego. Not an easy trip for us over here on the East Coast. So just incredible that so many of like the longtime supporters could see that in person. And just what an incredible feeling. It's awesome.
I know. So, so, so cool that they got to go. Most of these people have with them for years and years when Gotham Sky Blue was not what it is right now. And I remember going to Yorko to watch Sky Blue back in 2019. And I don't know where Cloud9 sat, but I sat in Section 8, which was right next to Cloud9. And back then, they were, and they're still such a vibe.
Yeah.
Field with no changing rooms and...
Oh my gosh.
Like no running water.
It was a college. It was a college field. Like crazy, yeah. Crazy. How far we've come.
It is absolutely correct. Now let's get to some team news. This happened right after we recorded our last episode. But as we've been talking about all season, Jenna Neiswanger, our rookie, our one rookie, is NWSL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, I was like fully on board with that. I voted her, on my short list and ranked her first in the media vote. But I just think she was such a well-rounded player. And like, it was a tough rookie class. We had Alyssa Thompson, who just came in tearing it up immediately and got a World Cup call up. Then you had Messiah Bright, who went second round and scored 7 goals for Pride. Just incredible. And then for me, though, Jenna, her 5 goals, 2 assists over all comps, over 1,500 minutes logged, third highest successful tackles in the league. It's just such like a well-rounded player who just didn't look like a rookie out there and did what was asked of her in a way that was pivotal to the team making the playoffs. So for me, she was, the margins were tight. And when I spoke to her, she even said like, you know, it's just so hard to like, it's such a subjective, you know, award. All of these awards are, but she, to me, earned it. And it's just been so cool having a front row seat to what such an incredible rookie season. And if she doesn't get a look at the national team, we need some outside backs. That would be insane.
Yeah. I mean, she did deserve it. Looking at all those stats and numbers that you just mentioned, especially when she was playing in a new position that she's not used to, We had no doubt in our minds that she was going to win.
I agree. And when we first got Jenna, I reached out to their Sir Soccer coach over at FSU. And the first line that he put on, like, what is she like as a person and a player? She's like her soccer brain. And that just, I think he hit the nail on the head there. I think this was she's just such a high soccer IQ player. She knows what the game needs. And she, again, as Jenna put it, she doesn't look like a rookie out there. She looks years above that. And when the finals were kicking off, she looked like one of the best players on the field in that game. And this is way above the level she should be playing at. But we got a good one, and I look forward to rooting for her for years and years and years. Let's get over to this ridiculous, ridiculous wild game. This is the NWSL Championship. Krieger versus Rapino. Gotham versus OL Tacoma Seattle Reign FC. From a historically bad last season, Gotham FC in last place by a mile, 13 points in total, to only fall below the playoff line one time, and that was in week 2 during the regular season, to qualify for the playoffs for their second time in 3 seasons, to begin as the first 6th seed to win their first match. Then they made all the way to the finals, blanking 2 top teams in Courage and the Thorns on the road to get there, seemingly hitting another gear and just starting to find their final form. They reached the finals by defending as a unit and taking the chances that they're presented. Now, OL has not lost in 5 matches. They were given up 1 goal over 5 matches. They also blanked Angel City and San Diego. And they say that defense wins championships. Well, we have 2 great defenses in this one. Now, the ref notes for this one is Ekaterina Korolyova, and who has a master's in science and is a physician's assistant in emergency room setting. It's one of my favorite things to do is like look up the refs and let's see them on LinkedIn, because they all have like, they're just like the players. They have these ridiculous backgrounds and they have degrees and this, whatever. So yeah. So hashtag no more side hustles for them too. Injuries. This is my favorite injury list of the season. All the ones that are on there, we know about Imani Dorsey, Abby Smith and Taylor Smith, Taryn Torres and McCall Zerboni, but nobody's questionable. Everybody else is healthy. Let's go. Best 11, we got Williams up top, and we got Purse, Sheehan, Gonzalez, and Ryan across. Martin in the defensive mid. This back line of Neiswanger, Krieger, Lopez, and Bernina is fantastic. And Mandy Haught in goal. Now, I heard on the broadcast that Gotham has not gone back-to-back games with the same starting 11 in the regular season, and now has gone with 1 starting 11 through the entire playoffs, which is interesting. And Jenna, Ruby, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I was not surprised to see the starting 11. Juan has definitely employed some rotation. Some of it has been because of injuries. Some of it has just been because it's a very competitive training environment. But this, I really think that their playoff run was the strongest form that we saw the team in all year. Yes, they did sneak into the playoffs. It was a very tight table, but they just kicked it up a notch. And this was the starting 11 to do it. I said it on Twitter. Maitane Lopez was the best midseason signing of the league. She is so good. She's versatile. Much needed height on this team, paired with Krieger. It's just, she's just been great back there. Neely Martin has been a revelation as a defensive mid, just such a good, you know, like destroyer, breaking up plays. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Zerboni a little bit back there. And then, I mean, Delaney Sheehan has just grown all season. Just seeing her evolution this season has just been incredible. And, you know, obviously Yasmin, Midge Williams, I mean, come on. that's the trio. That's the trio right there. Esther, I mean, she's not, they don't call her the exterminator for nothing. And then Mandy's been solid in goal when she's needed to be called on. So yeah, I loved it.
Yeah. Like you said, Maitane has been low key really, really good for this team. And so have been a lot of players, like you mentioned, Martin, Sheehan, everyone has like evolved into what Gotham is now. And this is the last starting 11 of 2023. Like I said in our last episode, most likely it was going to be the starting 11 of the final for the final game. And it was. I feel like Coach Amoros has found something in these players. And why fix something that's not broken? It has worked. It worked through the playoffs. Why not in the final game? I mean, in the beginning of the season, like Jenna said, we had a lot of rotation, especially because, you know, the coach was new. He was trying to see what everyone was bringing to the table, and we finally found it. And I'm so glad to see all these players out there. And I mean, so much talent out there on the field.
And also, I forgot to mention Jenna Nyswanger and Bruninha on the wings. What just crazy good players to fit into one system, this high pressing system where we just have like these two young, fast, technically skilled players able to just run up and down the flanks like that. I mean, it's just, and the two of them, I think, have like a very, very cool bond, and it's working really well. So hopefully that's something that sticks around this team for a long time.
Yeah. And I love how they have like this chess ideology for the team. So pretty much if you know how to play chess, you can move anywhere in the table. So this is what's happening with Gotham right now. Pretty much doesn't matter what position you play, you have to be ready to move around the pitch like a chess board.
Yeah, I love that. It's so great. And I loved at the end of the game that Jesus and Neely were playing some chess on the ground. And I tried to get them to tell me who won. And Jesus just said, soccer won.
Aw. That's a good answer, though. I know.
Jump into the game. This was, I would say, about as dialed back as a Gotham as we've seen all season. Still with the high line, but they're not really pressing unless it's advantageous. So for the first time this playoff, Gotham seemed a bit nervous early. It's been all business for Gotham so far in these playoffs, but you could tell the moment was getting to them early on. And I think Gotham did exactly what I said they would do, which was own the flanks. OL's strength is on the wings. So Gotham had Midge pinned to the right sideline, and then we had Nyswanger pushed up high on the left side. Zero accurate crosses from the top crossing team in the league. Gotham hit another level in these playoffs. They would just not be denied. So I just wanted to get your initial thoughts on this game as a whole, and then we'll talk about the moments of the match, your emotions, thoughts, stuff like that.
So I think for me, you know, when Pino went out, that was going to be, I was very interested to see kind of what happened, because I think for both teams, obviously for Rain, it's devastating, but for both teams, it kind of sucked a little bit of the air out of the game. I mean, 5 minutes, basically nothing was happening, and then all of a sudden that. So I think, you know, the minutes after that were a little bit difficult, I think, for both sides, just to kind of like get their minds back and like get back to business. Overall, I would say that even though there were some moments where perhaps Gotham needed to, you know, adjust to the moment, there was never truly a moment in the game where I thought that they lost control. I think overall, I wasn't nervous. Like, you know, I didn't feel like things were getting out of hand. There were times where they had to make some adjustments. They did. Mandy Hawk came up with a huge save and then another huge save that was a red card. But I think that they really did have control of the majority of the game, and they were able to see it out even under the most insane circumstances there at the end.
Yeah, I mean, just hours before the game, I was really calm. But as it got closer to kickoff, I got a little anxious. I just wanted it to start, honestly. I just wanted the game to start. I knew in my heart that Gotham was going to win. I don't know why I had that sensation that they were going to win. I was not nervous at all, like you, Jenna. I was not nervous. Like you said, after that, what happened with Rapino, it really took like maybe 10, 15 minutes for them to settle and find their groove in the field. But after they did, wow. I mean, just as Midge Purse, because mm-hmm. she was bawling out there. Like,
some of the best soccer I've ever seen her play. It was just incredible.
Yep. It was incredible to see all those moves, and pretty much like she showed why, like, you know, she deserves to be in this team, to be in the national team. Like, she's just a player, like, she has speed, she has technique, she's just so great out there. And I cannot stop just talking about Midge and her performance out there.
I don't know how to explain it to you guys. I'm with you guys on the being nervous before the game. And I was, like, I got off of work at, like, 4 or 5 o'clock, and I got home and I had a couple, like an hour and a half to kill before watching this game. So I'm like double cleaning my house, just going around, just doing something, trying to keep myself busy, trying to keep my mind off of this game. But as soon as that whistle blew, my calmness just, I had a surreal calmness over me. And I just was not nervous at all during this game. Even like the moments where like Rose scored, like I was more annoyed that she scored than I was like, are you going to make us work for this? We're winning this thing. Just don't make us work so hard. And then even with Mandy at the end, that kick at the top of the box, I'm like, we're winning this thing. I have no idea why, but we're just going to win this thing. There's no way they're going to deny us this, what we earned this season. So yeah. And then I always make this the poll at the end of the game, and I always wait till the last second to do it. But the past game, I did it early. And then this time I was starting to do it early. I'm like 3/4 of the way through, and I see Mandy grab the ball outside the box, and I'm like, oh gosh. And I look at this poll and I'm like, do I finish this poll or do I erase it and forget that I ever started this thing? And I was like, you know what? We're winning this thing. I'm keeping it, letting it go. And I was right. We made it. It's just, we just were not losing on that night.
Yeah. I looked at my wife and I told her, they're going to miss this. They're not going to make it. And they did. All Rain missed that kick. It went right into the Great Wall of Gotham.
Oh my God, the Great Wall. That was the funniest wall I've ever seen in my entire life. I loved it. I need it like on a t-shirt or something. Like, it was just so, I was like, what are they doing?
Yeah. I like Neely like organizing the wall. I'm like, she probably doesn't know what she's doing.
And then everybody's trying to help her. Like, Ali Long was back there, yeah. Like, do this. And I was like, oh my God.
Just gotta fake it till you make it.
Yeah. Ali was just like, she's going to that side. So as soon as she goes to kick the ball, you run to that corner. And she did. But the wall holded. We will talk about that later. But let's just get some of the moments of the game. And obviously we'll start at the beginning. Losing Rapino to injury, suspected Achilles tear. She said she heard a loud pop and just went down. And I'm just devastated for the legend. Obviously you never wanted to go out in that big moment. Just 2 minutes into our final game. Just terrible.
Yeah, it was really like, I remember when it happened, a couple of people standing around me were like, is she okay? And I was like, yeah, she's fine, you know, because like, I just didn't want to like think that like it was something like that. I was like, it's just her ankle, like she'll be fine. She'll be back in a second. And then like, obviously it was like clear that wasn't what it was. And I was just like, oh God, like I can't manifest my way out of this one. But it was just, yeah, it's just, she just, nothing even happened, you know, freak. It's, you know, I mean, I shouldn't say anything about the field there, but it's a little bit of an unlucky field. Let's just put it that way. Obviously, we had 4 injuries in Gotham on that field. So I don't know, but just a terrible, terrible way to end a career. But you know, I think, and I think she said this, I don't remember like if it was post game, you know, she's had a lot of like really amazing moments over her career. And like, this isn't going to like be the end all be all or define her or anything like that. It just sucks. It just sucks. So obviously wishing her all the best in recovering from that. I mean, she just wants to retire and now she has to go get surgery. It just stinks so much, but she's a legend of the game. She will be missed on the field, but I'm sure we have not seen the last of Megan Rapinoe, and I can't wait to see what she does next.
Yeah, it's very, very unfortunate for Rapinoe, and I've been following for the longest time when she was in the national team when she was very young, and I used to tell my friend, like, there's something about her that I like. She's like really, really special on the field. And I honestly, let me tell you, I really wanted to see Rapinoe and Krieger just battle it out on the pitch, but I guess it was just not meant to be. Hoping for a speedy recovery for Rapinoe.
Yeah, tremendous player. And she plays bigger in the biggest moments. And within the first minute, she almost had an assist. And she's just different. She's just a different player. Like the play in, she gets the wrong foot to the defender, and it's the outside of her right foot, which you shouldn't be crossing from or getting the ball in from. And she just does things differently, and she's amazing. And I'm just sad for her, but I want to just thank her for everything she's done for the sport and the LGBTQ plus movement and everything else that she's done. So just speedy recovery.
Yeah, but Rapinoe moved to New York, so I'm pretty sure we'll see more of her. Maybe even at Red Bull Arena, one of the Gotham games.
Yeah, that would be great. Obviously, Sue is ties to New York, so maybe we'll see her around. Catch you at some Gotham and Liberty games, perhaps.
And let's just talk about this opening goal. Now, Juan Carlos has done an amazing job of putting players in their best spots to succeed. And Mitch's best spot is on the right side, pinned to the sideline, and just allowed to cut in and just burn defenders. And there was no stopping her this game. She's on a level that only she could reach. And she megs the first defender, hops over the second defender who's sliding in with the ball stuck to her foot. And then she just goes right by the last defender, picks her head up, finds Lynn Williams trailing like they've been doing all season. And it was just an easy goal for Lynn at the six. What a finish.
That was incredible. And there was some footage caught on the sideline of that run. I think it was Brittany Alvarado. It was just, I'm speechless watching what she did. That was crazy. It was just like a new level unlocked. And Lynn just right knew exactly where to go. It was beautiful. It was just a beautiful setup, beautiful goal. Midge was just shining. I'm sure we'll get into how she earned MVP later in the show, but she's just so earned, even just from that moment.
Yeah, just from that moment, like you guys said, she unlocked, like, I don't know. I know she's trying to get a higher score on the game, the FIFA game.
Oh, that's right.
I'm pretty sure now she has a higher score there, because what she just did is like unbelievable. Just amazing. And she just kept getting better and better as the game progressed, and her confidence just kept building up too.
All right, so before the game, they were showing the FIFA cards, and they had Midge Purse and they had Heidema's cards up there, and they were both the same in dribbling. And I was like, look at them, like, how is that even possible? I got to get Nicole Baxter on the phone.
That's right. Bax, yes. Fix it.
Yes, Bax. You know, I'm going to get her on the podcast. Just talk about that. Like, okay, you're done. Like, just finish. make that right. But yeah, and with going back to Rapinoe's injury, with Rapinoe out, Roosevelt had to step up, and she stepped up. She caught Gotham with a high line with a perfectly timed run, beats Manny Hot. She might have been stuck in the middle of the goal. There's no, like, she made herself as big as she possibly could make herself. But what a strike. You know, it's even at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at that Rose goal. Maybe Mandy could have come out a little bit more to cut off the angle, maybe. But when you have Roosevelt coming at you like that, I really just think there's not much you can do. So definitely, I mean, that goal was not on Mandy at all. It was like perfectly timed run from Rose, and then just Rose doing Rose things. I totally agree. She was the star for OL. She was tearing it up. She was really the focal point of everything. Just a great, great goal from Rose, classic Rose. But like I, like you were saying before, Gary, even when they scored that goal, I still was like, they still got it. Gotham still got it. I still felt pretty confident.
It's true.
Yeah, those were my exact thoughts about Mandy. She could have gone up a little more just to cut the angle. She did extend her arm in the right direction, but she was not going to be able to stop it. I mean, a healthy Rose LaBelle is dangerous.
It is. And also my wife wants me to say that Rose faked Mandy out by opening her hips, which made Mandy think she was going second post. So she couldn't have done better. It was really good on Rose and nothing Mandy could do. So that's the Adriana Tonelli analysis. You heard it here first, folks.
Yes. And I agree. Rose is special. So there was a couple times during the game where she just dribbled her way out of pressure and like she had three defenders on her and she would just pull out of it. And it was just, it was impressive to watch. But yes, I was just annoyed with her all night. Like, why are you so good?
That's what my sister was saying. So my sister, Kara, is a recent Gotham fan. She came to the game where Esther scored those two goals. Who was that game against? I swear, my brain, once the season's over, I'm like shut down. Like my brain like shuts down. That's right. So she was like an instant fan after that. She was like obsessed. And she also just like loved, this is like kind of an aside, but she just, you know, she's been to sporting events before, baseball, whatever. But she really just like loved the community atmosphere at Red Bull with, you know, around a women's team with families and queer people and just like everybody was really nice and talking to each other in the stands. And so she was just like an instant fan. But so she was watching the final, watching it with my parents, and my mother had hilarious commentary. But the one thing they both said to you was like, God, that Rose LaBelle, because they don't know. She was like, they're like, she was annoying. I was like, because she was good. They were like, yeah, she was too good.
She was too good. And there was one thing in this game that shook my confidence just a tad, was right after Rose scored, they went back down the field and then Mitch hits the post and Lainey Sheehan takes it down, hits the crossbar. And we've seen that in the second half of games a lot this season, where it just seems like it's just not going our way, even no matter what we try. So that was like, oh, that was crazy. So what do you think about that?
I know. I held my breath. I was holding my breath. I was hoping for Mitch to get a gold. I mean, like I said, she balled out during the game. That would have just been like a cherry on top for her.
Yeah. And I obviously also wanted Mitch to score. That would have been amazing. And also, Gary, just like you said, I was like, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. Like, this is just like Gotham just keeps. They love that post. They love that woodwork. But so I did kind of get like a little bit like, oh, but at the same time, it was like, no, it's good. They're attacking. They're causing issues. They're, you know, this is a positive, even though it's so frustrating that they just love that post.
Get ready to go into halftime. But if you guys know anything about this team this year or last year, they don't stop. They keep fighting. They fight to the last minute, to the first whistle, to the end of the whistle. And right before half, Esther hits a poster perfect header, perfect ball in from Midge. And Esther separates herself, puts it in the back of the net. What a way to go into 2-1 at halftime. I'm curious your thoughts, your confidence level at halftime.
High. I think they going into the half with a lead was huge. I mean, Gotham has been a great second half team this season. They've come back from being down multiple times in the second half of games. So even if they went in tied, I wasn't like going to be overly concerned about it. But I think going in with a lead was just a huge confidence boost. And especially with such a great set piece header, which we haven't seen like a ton of from them this season. So I think it was what?
That was our first
one.
Goal.
Oh, corner. Well, there we go. It was the first one. So I think it was just a really great way to enter the half with being up and just come out in the second half and just show again why they're a great second half team to finish out the game.
Yeah, confidence definitely high. It was like 5 candy corns high.
Oh, 6. Throw an extra one on there for this one.
All right, 6. But it's just crazy because we've been talking about this, about taking advantage of corners all season long, and it finally came, finally, in the last game of the season. I mean, better late than never.
But I still, I think the goal of the season now for me is that Katie Stengel Portland goal, like, because what the hell? That was just really unreal.
It felt like we were getting what we deserved, because this team has put on incredible performances. They press teams into the corner flags, but they haven't had that final just hitting the post again, hitting the post, hitting the crossbar, those things. But like finally felt like we earned this. And I was like, once that went in, I was like, okay, it's done. But getting back to the second half, it was very back and forth. Gotham wasn't really pressing the issue as much, and they were really sitting back further and just playing for the win. And you always have to keep your eye on Lavelle. She spins out of traffic in the middle of the field, finds Lasko through, and Mandy made an incredible save. She waited her out, picked the right side, and just was a tremendous save. And that was definitely the save of the match.
Yeah, absolutely. I think had that goal been scored, it might have been a different game, but Mandy came up huge. I think it kind of took the wind out of Rain a little bit to be denied again.
Yeah, that ball had goal written all over it. But Mandy just calmly stays in position, keeps her eyes on the ball, waits for Lasko, and just dives for an amazing save. It was incredible. She really did took the confidence out of Ole Rain and with that save.
Lavelle said in the post game about how much Rapinoe has influenced her game. And you saw what I was talking about early on about Megan using the outside of her foot to play that ball through. That's exactly what Rose does. She hits off the outside of her foot, curls it right into the space. And it was a little bit of an homage to Rapinoe's influence on her game, which was really, really nice. And again, Mandy's footwork is sublime. She was ready. She was ready to launch. She's constantly on her toes and just again, waited her out just big time. Then, how many times have I said this phrase on this podcast that they just cannot make it easy on us? 5 minutes into a 6 minute stoppage time, the ball's over the top. Bennett and Hodder at the top of the box, and Mandy just panics and punches the ball just outside the box. She's inside the box. Her hands are just outside the box. She gets called for a red card. They're panning the camera onto Batos, okay, Batos might be going in. And then I see Neely Martin putting on the gloves, and I'm like, okay, this is interesting. Gotham is out of subs. Free kick from outside the box. Who else but Roosevelt sitting over the top of it? And just, they say defense wins championships. This is exactly what happened. The wall holds. Gotham wins, goes on to win the NWSL championship. What a way to end this game.
The Great Wall of Gotham. Yeah, yes. That was just so crazy. There was actually one point where I had to turn away from the screen. Oh. But I was in a room that had screens on all the walls. So that didn't work. Mm-hmm. But I was texting with Sarah, who is writes for the local W and has a podcast of her own, the Women's Soccer Show. And she was there. And I was like, tell me what happens. I cannot watch. I literally cannot do this. And so she was giving me the play-by-play, which was nice because she's also a full minute ahead of the stream. So I knew before the rest of the room when they had won. And I was just so I got my camera out and I was ready to film everybody in the bar. So that was cool that I knew that it was coming. But yeah, that was that, like you said, Gary, can't make it easy on us. But I think that game is just an instant NWSL classic. I mean, instant classic. We're going to be talking about that one for a long time, for sure.
Yeah. I had not realized that we were out of subs, especially because, like you said, they were on Beto's and she was warming up she was going to come in. And I was like, okay, we're good. And like you said, all of a sudden, Martin has the gloves on and I'm like, what the hell's going on? Not again. But Martin, as always, so cool and calm, comes and steps up for the team. I just love it. I love it how she's so confident out there. And like you said, she was just telling them what to do out there. Like, hey, she got this.
There was one thing that was frustrating about this match. That was the stream itself. This is the most delayed stream that I think I've had a chance to watch. Usually it's 5 to 6 seconds, but this was delayed for 20 to 30 seconds on the stream. So my phone, I have every app telling me every update. So my phone is just blowing up and I'm I'm trying to ignore my phone because I know if it's going, it goes off, I'm like, there's a goal coming, but I have everybody texting me and stuff like that. So I was just, that part was very frustrating about this game, having such a delayed game. But just Neely running up to that field running up the field with the pink jersey on. Again, what a vibe. So many iconic images from this season. Yeah. And even just this game, that has to be one of them.
I made it my cover photo on Twitter because I just loved it so much. I was like, this is just perfectly encapsulate this team's season. Just this image right here.
Yeah. Peak NWSL chaos. The game just had to end that way, didn't it?
You know what's the best part for me? It's that we got the trophy, not the trophy from last year. Like, mm-hmm. we got the new design. Like, what the heck? It was so crazy. I was like, it's going to come home. And it did, because I really wanted that trophy. It's like the trophy they deserve. The other one, not to like talk trash or anything, but it kind of looked like it's a high school or like trophy. Like, no, like, this is beautiful. This is class. It's so classy. I love it.
Yep. I love that they got that Tiffany's trophy. They deserve it for sure.
All right, let's get some post-game quotes. I feel like I did what I had to do. Mandy Haught.
Hey.
I think she did. I mean, Juan told her after the game, like, you saved us, because had she not done that, I think that was a goal. So, I mean, it's you know, I saw somebody say, kind of compare it to cheating, but I wouldn't say it's cheating. I mean, you just in the moment did what you had to do and you got your red card. That's it. You know, it was the proper thing to happen. And right. I really do think, you know, in the moment she made the decision that did save the game. So yeah, she did what she had to do.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. You grab an arm, you pull a shirt, or in this game, you just punch the ball outside the box. If not, just as Maradona, the hand of God.
Hand of God.
He did what he had to do.
Oh, I could imagine Ali Krieger doing that, you know, saving the game, hand of Godding it, getting that red card. Carly Lloyd did that once in a random game against like Orlando.
So there was a difference between her actions and those words that she just put out, because I'm sure you guys all saw the video of her with Midge Purse where she's walking back on the field and she's like, did they miss? Did they miss?
Oh, yeah.
I know she's like, I did the right thing. But I can imagine in that moment she was just like regretting it and dreading it and just imagine going through all that. But in the end, yes, she did. And I'll give you the second part of that. My statement on the next one. So the next quote of the match is, we just promised each other we would do everything in order to get here. And I'm proud of us. And I'm so proud of myself, Krieger said.
Gives me chills a little bit. Yeah, kind of gives me chills a little bit. And I think like this team had just so many like amazing storylines coming out of it this season. I mean, starting with the work that Yael did to just, you know, build this roster, then Sinead, you know, making this roster after coming back after what happened to her 6 years later, then Mana coming onto this team as well, those two earning a championship, Krieger ending her career here in a crazy year, just having her play as if she could have gone another couple of years, honestly. And just some of these players who have just been on this team for so long, Mandy Freeman, McCall, Sabrina, just, you know, players that have like really stuck it out with this club now getting a championship. And I think what's really interesting to me and something that all the players have said, you know, anytime I've spoken to them, that even the players that have, you know, weren't getting a ton of minutes, or maybe they got injured and they missed a part of the season, that every single one of them contributed to this win, whether that was at training, motivating, you know, coming, being a game changer, coming off the bench, just every single person just put in what was necessary to get here. It was truly a team performance, back to front, bench to starter. And it was just a storybook ending nobody could have predicted, except I predicted it in All for 11's beginning of year roundtable.
Yeah. Hey, this could have been like a great Netflix documentary.
Oh my saying. Gosh. Honestly, last night I was like, should I write a book? It's like, maybe I should. I don't know.
You should. I think this is a storybook season, and it'd be a shame if no one did any something like that, or like Netflix or wrote a book about this season.
Let me make some calls. Yeah. Maybe Hallmark Channel.
Now, I'm going to say this. I think the captain sets the tone for this moment. And at the end of the game, when Mandy Haught grabs that ball, the game before where Krieger grabs Smith and pulls her down or holds her up and risks a red card in her final game, that set the tone. It said, look what I'm willing to do to get to where we need to be as a team. And Mandy did, she followed her lead and did what she had to do to get us to the championship, get us to the finals, and get us to that trophy. And yeah, Krieger showed how serious it is, and Mandy followed through on it, which was awesome. Let's get to the stats of the game. Do we have any stats of the game, Jenna?
2-1.
There you go.
2-1. Final score.
What is the final candy corn dominance of the season?
10 out of 5.
10 out of 5.
Yeah. There you go.
Just killing it.
I have a stat of the game. So Gotham's 3 straight wins in the 2023 playoffs is the club's first 3-match winning streak since 2016. Crazy.
It's crazy. My stat of the week is one I gave earlier. 0 crosses in. I said a lot of things about how this team was going to win, and they did it. I said Gotham was going to dominate on the wings and not let them get crosses off. It's the most successful crossing team in the league, and they shut them down. Player of the week on Twitter at Over Gotham Pod, I put extra exclamation points because Ruby wanted it to be that way. Yep. So final thoughts. Everybody said everyone got the most votes at 31.7%. Allie got 1, was 21%, surprisingly. Midge at 30.6% in second. And in last place was Party at 16.7. Do we all agree with this poll?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, like I said, it was totally a team effort from top to bottom. But if we have to, like, pick a player of the match, it was our MVP, Midge Purse. I mean, she had just an incredible game. It's like one of those games where you say, that's why this player is a star. That's why this player can make it into the national team. You know, really unfortunate that she did not get this call up into the World Cup. She was injured, and it was a tough roster to break into. But if she keeps that up, if she does what she did on Saturday again, how do you leave her off? I mean, just an incredible, incredible performance from Midge. So fun to watch, and I'm very happy for her.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with Jenna. I'm going to say MVP Midge Purse as well.
Midge is always underrated. Mm-hmm. And she's always like not given the credit that she deserves. And just like, so I was talking about on the Rebel Discussion podcast about players that like, you kind of want to root for. And she's an unreal person. I mean, you're talking about a Harvard graduate on like the Harvard board, producing a TV show. She was just doing a podcast. She has her nonprofit with the Black Women's Player Collective. She's an unreal person, and she's super, super talented. And all indications, she's an amazing teammate. So this was the biggest stage and for her to show off, and she showed off. I'm just so proud of her. And also got to put this out there. Shout out to 4-time NWSL Cup winner, McCall Zerboni. I think she earned that. And it was weird that they kept pushing Lynn saying she got 4, which is great. She got 4 and obviously celebrate that. But they kind of like said like, because she played in 4. And it was like, McCall tore ACL, man. Give her a break. She would have played in this game. This game called for McCall Zerboni. When you're up a goal in the championship game, you put McCall Zerboni on the field and she will field marshal you to the championship.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a little rough for McCall, but shout out to her.
I know. I agree completely. I mean, obviously, Lynn played in N1-4, which is like an incredible stat. And I think having Lynn on your team is just like a key, clearly, to getting to the 2-0 championship. But I agree. I mean, you know, McCall, I think, is one of those players who, you know, she's just been in this league for so long. She's been, you know, on the U.S. Women's National Team. She's been a champion. She's won now 4 NWSL championships. And without her this season, you know, for the game she was healthy and played in, I don't know if you got to this point. You know, she was really key in picking up some of those early wins in the beginning of the season. So she earned this just as much as anyone else. Hope to see her back next season. I mean, we got free agency again, so we'll see how it goes. But totally, I mean, so cool to have two 4-time NWSL champions on your team. So Lynn and McCall, definitely congrats to them.
Yeah, I like how they call it Linning now.
Linning, I loved it.
All right, let's get to segment 2, which is I want to talk about some of the little reasons why this win is so important. This is like, as you talked just a second ago, Jenna, about writing a book, this is only like a fraction of the storylines that went through this season. All the little, again, we just talked about it, all the little heroes we had throughout the season to get to where we need to be. We always had that one person who just put this team on their back and got them to the next level. But I think we have, it starts and ends with Yael. I think she's been brilliant. And last year, I forget exactly the day it was, I think it was like September last year, where she put out this tweet that said, "I assure you mm-hmm. that we are not okay with being at the bottom of the table. This position is all too common for this club. Here's why you can have faith in the future of this club." And she went on like a 20 tweet thread of all the little things that she's learned and that she wanted to implement and get done. And she checked every single box, and we are here because of her.
Absolutely. And I spoke at length with Yael the days leading up to the Portland semifinal, and I put out an article in the Messenger where I really gave a big behind the scenes look at everything that Yael had to do to convince this club to buy in, literally and figuratively, you know, with the vision and with actual cash dollars, to what she knew she could get this club to be in. And obviously, like, not every decision was easy. There's no crystal ball. And, you know, she second guessed herself, and as we all would do. But she got everything right. And it's just, I hope she feels validated in that. And, you know, she said to me in that conversation that even if Gotham didn't make it to the final, you know, even if they just made it to Portland and that was it, you know, she still felt like everything was a success because she was building a foundation, making a club that players wanted to play in, not because, you know, it was nice or, you know, things were easy, but because it was challenging and the players were given the resources to thrive and that they had a place that they wanted to work hard for because they knew they would have the support they needed behind them. And I think she's really done that. I mean, look, this club was able to get a World Cup winner to sign mid-season. They were able to, you know, get Katie Stengel to come back from England and come back to the NWSL. I think it's just, this turnaround has been incredible because it's one thing to say, oh, okay, well, now they play at Red Bull Arena. Like, all right, we're good. We're done. Like, we're not at Rutgers anymore. But to actually put in the effort in every single way possible on the soccer ops side is just, I think, a testament to the sustainable growth that has been built for this club. They might not win it again next year. You know, maybe they don't make a playoffs. It's a tight table expansion group. Who knows? But I don't think we'll ever see again like a Gotham FC with 30 goals against at the bottom of the NWSL table. Yeah. I think that's behind them. And I think the credit goes to Yael, to Juan, to his coaching staff, and to the players who bought into this vision.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like everyone last year just wanted the season to end because it was so bad that, like, another game, it just felt too much. Like, everyone just wanted it to end. And look, it feels like it's been, like, a short amount of time, but in reality, it's been 14 months. Yeah, maybe in soccer, that's short, actually. 14 months to turn around a team in 14 months. It's actually crazy now that I think about it. And just that, just think about it, like how much time, how much work that she has put into the team. Like you probably think like, yeah, she works for 40 hours and that's it. No. I'm pretty sure she's working like day and night, like on the phone, talking to people, like looking at data, because she did mention data for the team to bring in players mm-hmm. to see like what would they need to bring that player in. So she was bringing a lot of new ideas, and now she has like this blueprint of how to turn a team around. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of teams that are like in the bottom right now, or even expansion teams that are coming into the league, probably calling her up like, hey, what are you doing over there?
Don't spill the secret sauce too much.
Yeah.
All right, let's get over to plan A, which is Krieger gets her fairy tale ending. She gets her first.
Couldn't have written it any better. That's really all I can say. She deserved it. She's earned it. She has done so much for this sport. She has been an incredible athlete, incredible motivator, leader, and soccer player. And she deserves this. And it was so cool to see the team rally around her. I'm just so happy for her.
Yeah, so happy for her too. And she mentioned that she was thinking about the idea of retiring even last year. I'm so glad she didn't do it last year.
Because yeah. We needed her.
Yeah, we definitely needed her, and she definitely needed a trophy and a win.
And when I say we needed her, it's not that just like, I don't mean Gotham. I mean, I mean like the league. I think having a player like Allie get the send-off that she got this year was just really important, because I don't know how many Allie Kriegers we're going to get again as the sport evolves, as, you know, maybe people don't have as long of careers. And even now, just like having a player play at that level until they're 39 years old is just like so unheard of. Yeah. So I think it was just so cool to like give her that last season and have her play some of the best soccer she's played, especially like in the center back role. You know, obviously she's played midfield, outside back, she's played all over. So I just think like we as soccer fans are just so incredibly lucky to have gotten to see that and watch that this season.
Yeah, I think as I said earlier, Krieger sets the tone and she sets the example for everybody else. So whether she's not playing next season or whatever, the things that they've been able to watch from her and learn from her, I think are going to carry over in all those players' lives for the rest of their careers. She was just incredible, and she did everything right this season. Everything. Now, this is a very incredible moment, and didn't get a lot of it, as much attention as I think it should have, but Sinead and Mana getting their trophy after the time away and everything they went through was so incredibly emotional. Just so proud of them. It says a lot about this team.
Yeah, that hug at the end when they hugged each other, that moment was powerful.
Yeah, I mean, I think... again, a storybook ending, just to have everything that happened to them, having them blow the lid off this league and come forward and explain what not only happened to them, but just kind of showcase this culture in the league of abuse that was just happening and nobody was doing anything about it, to just be so brave to come forward. And then to get the second chance and to find a home at Gotham together and to win a championship. I mean, it's just like, is that real? It's just crazy. And you could just see in their faces how much it meant to them. I mean, it was amazing. And Steph Young in The Athletic put out a piece today about Mana with some post-game tidbits. I highly recommend folks read that, because I think it really, really kind of encapsulated for Mana, at least, what this meant to her. It kind of insinuated that this is it, she's done. You know, she was on like a temporary contract, so it kind of insinuated that she might be done, which would make sense. I mean, she's a lawyer. I mean, she's got things to do. Sinead, I don't know, that'd be cool. I hope she stays. I don't know what that's gonna look like. I think she's a free agent or a restricted free agent. I have to check my roster notes. Just so cool to see it end like this. It's just so well deserved for both of them. And also, they're both still so good. Like, how do you take 6 years off and then you come back and you're like so good? I need to do whatever they're doing. I need their training manual.
Yeah, Sinead has a mutual option.
Mutual option. Okay.
Yes, that's so. I hope they bring her back. Even in the short minute she was on the field in the final, she's so silky smooth. She's such a good player, and she's got many years left if she wants it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is what it is. Ruby, your thoughts, Ruby?
I mean, my same thoughts with both of you. Like, everything that has happened, it's just incredible for Sinead, for Mana. It's, they deserve it. I have a few words. They just deserve it. That's pretty much it.
We should also talk about other players, like unheralded players. This team won this championship on the back of returning players, such as Sheehan and Mandy Haught, and then bringing in Neely Martin. I don't know, whatever you want to call it, a second chance player or whatever you want. She was on waivers. Tremendous. What a season for all three of those players.
Incredible. I was talking to someone the other day, and they're like, oh, yeah, Neely was a free agent. Gotham got her as a free agent. I said, no. She was on the waiver wire. God, that was what a move. I mean, Neely Martin was pivotal to this team. Incredible. Just like who would have guessed? I would never have guessed. I was talking to some of my friends who you know, cover Racing Louisville, and they had mentioned to me like, oh, she's a special player. Disappointed to see her waived, but glad she's going to get a chance at Gotham. So I was kind of like, all right, like let's see. Like that's a cool story. Let's see. And just like you said, Gary, without her, without her this season is a different team. So it was really, really cool to see what she was able to do.
Yeah, she really stepped up when Allie Long wasn't playing.
Yeah.
And if I said this before the playoffs, probably the first game of the playoffs, I said that the young midfield was going to either break us or they're going to carry us to the championship. And they were spectacular, especially in this game against one of the most experienced midfields in the game with Lavelle, Fishlock, mm-hmm. and Sonnet. I think they bossed them around for most of this match and just so good. So super good to see them grow. And, you know, for players, again, like Sheehan, who was drafted here, wasn't given any minutes, had to go overseas. She didn't get all that many minutes over there, but she came back. And then what a special player. What a unique, special player. She plays soccer like nobody else. And it's incredible to watch. And I know she's got a lot of it get to, but yeah. Thank you, Sheehan.
Yes.
And I think we also need to talk about just how good this is for the team in general and in the market and all that. It's just good for business. And Jenna, do you think this is going to give us a little bit of a boost in attendance?
I sure hope it does. I had a little thread on this on Twitter the other day, and I wrote a little bit about it in an article I put out either yesterday or today, forget, in the local W, I think it was yesterday, about the watch parties, which were packed. I mean, there was packed watch parties around the city. And I think there's, you know, the topic of Gotham's attendance has been a hot topic amongst everybody in the league. You see in New York, New Jersey market, and you wonder, why isn't that stadium filled? I think there's a few reasons for that. I think one is the location of Red Bull Arena is a nightmare. Whether you're in Jersey or coming from the city, it's not very easy to get to unless, you know, you live like a 30 minutes away or something. So just grabbing those New Yorkers who are, you know, having to take three subways to get there or drive, you know, an hour and a half like I do from Queens, because public transit takes even longer than that. It's tough. So I think that's a factor. Those Sunday games are just a nightmare. So that's a factor. But I also think Gotham has only been trying to capture the New York City market for a couple of years. And that's something that takes time. You know, people say like, oh, like even when like the Mets suck or the Yankees suck, like they still pull people. I'm like, yeah, because those teams have been around for decades and they've won stuff.
Exactly.
So that's why people go to those games. You know, it's not like, oh, Gotham, they're in New York. Oh, all of a sudden, like thousands of people are going to go, like, that's just not how it works. So it's going to take time. I think that this win, if it doesn't boost attendance, like then we're in the twilight zone, because like, that's insane. I would like to see a little bit more work from Gotham in terms of making inroads into New York and even into Newark, into some of these surrounding communities. Like there is no footprint else. There's a huge digital footprint of this club, huge digital footprint, and they do well there. But in terms of like a physical footprint in communities, you don't see it. And so I think that this is the moment. You have to seize on what this team was able to do. And you know, it's not just about national media attention. It's about local media attention. They should be on ABC 7. They should be on New York 1. You know, you should have flags and bars that showed the game. Send them a scarf, put them in the window, you know? So I think that's something that I would like to see happen a little bit more, but I do hope that this is like the impetus for Gotham, who they were seventh in the league in terms of average attendance with about 6,000 per game. That's not good enough. These players deserve 10K at least every night, unless it's a Challenge Cup on a Wednesday. Like, I don't know what you're going to do there. But they really deserve a sold out lower bowl at the very least. I would like every game to be like that one time Alex Morgan came. So I hope this is the start. I really do hope this is the start of that, because it's possible. It's possible. They could do it. They could really blow that attendance out of the water. So that's my little soapbox.
No, but like you said, like these watch parties, like they people overflowing these bars to watch the game. That's really amazing. And I think they should keep going. They should do the watch parties for away games. Keep doing that to keep building a community of soccer fans and Gotham fans, because once you like start going to these like watch parties, you make friends.
Yes.
And then your friends like, are we going to the game? And of course, that's how you're going to build your fan base. And I think they should keep going with the watch parties for all the away games.
I agree. And to their credit, they have done watch parties. They usually do one in Jersey, one in Brooklyn. But I think you have to do more. You need one in Queens. More. You need one in Manhattan. You need one in the Bronx. You need one in Staten Island. Like, you have to, there's just so much. And I think this is what people don't understand about New York, New Jersey.
Yeah.
You have endless options of how to spend your nights. Endless options. So why should you care about Gotham? You have to like prove it to New Yorkers and New Jersey folks. Like, why should I care? And there's so much to care about with this team. Even when they were crap, there was still so much to care about with this team. So I think like there, you know, again, sports is a business and there is money to be made here. That's, I think, is being left on the table. And I do just think that this win, if they can't use this to like give the players what they deserve and get those butts in seats, like then it's crazy. But I think it will. I do think they will. I mean, I'm like a positive person and I think they will see a bump. I do. I think more season tickets will be sold following this win. I think people are going to want to, you know, buy in early. I mean, you know, you kind of miss the really, really early buy-in, but you can still buy in a little bit early. So I think we will see that.
And you mentioned like areas that are like 30 minutes away from Red Bull. I am 30 minutes away from Red Bull. So I think like this area will be really good in Morristown area, Morris County area. I think they could like find a good crowd here to go to the games.
But that's, but you know, that, yeah, you're exactly right. It's not just New York. Like there is a whole area of Northern and Central Jersey. And I will admit, Nubia, if you're listening, I will admit Central Jersey exists this one time only. that I think would love a watch party in their neighborhood because they can go, they can meet people, like you said, find people to go to games with, you know? Yeah. It's, so I totally agree. I think community footprint is huge. I think some teams like Angel City is one. They've done really, really well in creating that community footprint. And I think that's the model, you know, to get people knowing that Gotham exists and get them out to games.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And I also think that this win in this season proved that New Jersey, New York is a destination place right now. And bringing on Esther and Maitani is not a small thing. And I think that signaled to the rest of the soccer world that players want to come here. They're going to find a family here and they're going to have fun, exciting soccer. And we're doing something different here. So I think this offseason, I think Gotham's going to be fielding a lot more calls than they're used to about from players asking if there's anything going on there that they can be a part of. So I think that's going to bring in more players, more eyeballs, and bigger name players. And it's just going to grow from here. Juan Carlos is doing an amazing thing by setting a beautiful example of what women's soccer teams can be. They can be exciting. They can be data-driven. They can be everything that the men's teams can be. And I think it's just a big boost all around. I think this is in the right direction. I can't see it stopping anytime soon. So it's official. The offseason has begun. This is the shortest offseason we're going to have because we're so used to like having a month off to relax a little bit. We're so out of this early. But now we got our attentions turned to the NWSL college draft. We got free agency. We got the two expansion drafts, which I'm dreading. And it started yesterday with the trade from Orlando. It's begun. So we're going to get no break whatsoever. So what are you most looking forward to in this offseason, Jenna?
I was going to say sleep. It's like so funny. I mean, I literally, right before we started recording, was looking at flights to California for the draft. So
wait, the draft is in California?
Well, I don't know that for sure, but usually it's coupled with the coaches' convention, which is in California. So they haven't announced it. I'm just like making an assumption. I guess it could be anywhere. But I was just looking. At flights. Yeah. I don't know.
What are the prices? Why not?
Oh, God. Hotels are even worse. Hotels in January in California, like people want to, I guess, like get to the warm weather. I don't know. I've never been to California. But anyway, no sleep ever. But I am looking forward. Well, not looking forward, but I am interested to see how this expansion draft goes. I asked Yael when I spoke with her how she plans to attack it this time. Obviously traded Didi Haricich and Kaylin Sheridan for protection last time to varying results, we'll say. I think that this time she will have a better approach, or I guess maybe a more well-rounded approach to how she decides to handle it. I think something I really dislike about this expansion draft, even more than the fact that like a player could get drafted to a team that they don't want to go to, is that like teams have to create a protected list of 9 players. So it's like, oh, okay, like these are our 9 players, like everybody else, like you're not on this list. Like, obviously that's not what that means, but I hate the whole concept of that. Like, it really like makes my stomach churn. Like, I know it's business, it's not personal, but like, how do you not take that personally? Like, I just hate the whole
concept.
I hate it. So I do hope that Gotham gets protection again, because I just think, one, it makes sure that everybody's kind of getting what they want, or at least knows what's happening, and no, there's no surprise, and then you don't have to make that stupid list, because I just think that's awful. I hate it. I just hate it so much. College draft? Yeah. Well, so expansion draft's December, college draft is January. I'm just so bad at the college draft, keeping up with like the prospects. I know, Gary, you're a little bit better at that than I am, actually a lot better, so I will be picking your brain as we get closer, but yeah, I think it's so fun to see like the newbies come into the league. So I just love that.
Yeah, the free agent class is ridiculous this year. And now the free agency is there and there are more players in the pool. There's always been talented players out there. I don't see any reason why the expansion draft should continue. I think they can build their teams out of the way. And as you're talking about, like, I don't like the idea of pulling players away from the teams if they don't want to be there.
Agreed.
Right.
I hate that.
It's just it's frustrating.
It really is. I mean, thankfully, with free agency, that helps a little bit, because I think, you know, now the clubs have to think about, like, when you draft a player, okay, like, yeah, you hold their rights, but those will expire one day. Mm-hmm. You don't infinitely hold that player's rights. So I think they have to put a little bit more thought into this and make sure they don't draft a player who in a year or two could just go to Europe and then say bye. And then now you just, like, missed a whole opportunity with somebody because of that. So I think free agency has been an amazing, amazing addition to this league. And I think it will play a role in this expansion draft. So I'm happy for that.
Yeah. And talking about free agency, let's talk about Crystal Dunn. She's looking for a team out there. And I'm just saying Gotham should make a move.
Come home, Crystal. Did you see I posted today? So I played flute all through college, high school, college, I played flute. So Crystal had posted that like video of her like playing flute. So I and the Diaspora United pod tweeted it out earlier this year. And so I quote tweeted it and I said, if Crystal comes to Gotham somehow, that I will recreate that video. And I will. And that's how I'm manifesting it. I will literally like put myself out there.
You have to come to the podcast and like do that.
Maybe I'll do it on like an Instagram live or something. I haven't played my flute in like years, so it'll be funny. But so that's all I'm manifesting by offering to embarrass myself more so than I already do.
Gail, if you're listening to this, make it happen.
Yeah. And this is the shortest offseason for us. I'm also manifesting Crystal Dunn to Gotham. Why not? She's got friends here and it would be a great spot for her to finish her career. Mm-hmm. Be great. So what are we manifesting this week or this off season?
Crystal Dunn. You already said it.
I'm manifesting I hope that everything that needs to happen, you know, in terms of, you know, if a player wants to move to get more playing time somewhere, or if, you know, Gotham, you know, drafts a good rookie who finds a great home with Gotham. Like, I just hope like these moves work out. And I really hope that it's not too stressful for our friends over at the club. And I just, you know, let's run it back. Let's do it again. 2024.
You're so nice, Jenna. You're so nice.
Yeah, manifesting is that they keep as many of the players that want to be here as possible. Trade as many draft picks as you can. We'll roll one draft pick again. Make another Jenna Neiswanger.
Yeah, but that's one of a kind right there.
Yeah, right. So yeah, I just hope they keep as many players as possible. And I hope that players like Long stick around for another year, because if she's okay with being on the bench, you can't have a better secondary player than Allie Long and, you know, Sinead Farrelly, Mona Shim, and the bench we had was ridiculous. Let's keep that bench.
Oh, I'm also manifesting a healthy Christy Mewis. Like, please? Like, she was so good in the when she finally came on again in the postseason, in the playoffs. And I was like, there she is. That's what she can do. I mean, she was the reason Katie Stengel got to score that goal, basically. She was right place, right time, collected the ball, passed it back perfectly, boom. Best goal of the year. So healthy Christy Mewis, healthy everybody. Healthy Taryn Torres. I would love to see her back just out there doing her thing, because she's an incredible player and we were robbed of Taryn Torres. But yeah, so everybody healthy. That's my other manifest.
Yes. Any random thoughts before we head off?
I don't have any.
I don't know. We yapped for a while. Everyone go on Twitter and see my mom's thoughts about the game. They're pretty good. And yeah, I mean, I just want to also like thank you both for always having me on and letting me talk about nonsense.
Thank you for coming.
No, I love it so much. I mean, we talk about this all the time. Like, you're my OGs. And I also just want to thank everybody who not only listens to your podcast because it's an amazing show, but, you know, follows all of us, reads my articles, shares my content, all of that, because, you know, I do this out of passion and love. And so I do it when I get, you know, people at the watch party who came up to me and thanked me, I'm like, no, thank you. Like, thank you for like supporting me, because it without that support, like, people don't hire me to write, you know what I mean? So I'm just so grateful, like, for an amazing community of fans who support my work. So I just want to say thank you to them, because if it wasn't for that, you know, I wouldn't be doing it. So thank you to everybody. And get ready for the off season. It's going to be a doozy.
Get ready for the ride.
That's right.
One quick random thought. There is a curious case of Megan McClellan hanging around this team. She is a talented keeper out of Rutgers. She went over to Chicago, yes, and then got let go. And she's been training with the team with Gotham for almost half the season now, I would say. And she's been in like the background of like a lot of the training videos and stuff like that. And shout out to the team. They didn't mention anything about her actually being on the roster or anything like that, but they took her to the finals. Yeah. And it was... And just to end on this, it was amazing to see Gotham brought, you know, Monty Dorsey, Taryn Torres,
everybody,
all those players,
everybody
to the finals.
Yeah. So I did ask about Megan McClellan, but I didn't get an answer. But Juan mentioned her at a press conference. I think she must be, I'm guessing here. I think she's on a temporary contract because of Abby's injury. It would be really cool. I mean, I don't know if they'll have four keepers again. You know, three seems to be the number. So I don't know, you know, what the keeper roster is going to look like. But I think, yeah, it's really cool to have like a local, you know, talent out of Rutgers be on the team and train with Bedos and Mandy. So, yeah, I mean, if I ever find out the deal, I'll let y'all know. I tried.
Yeah, Bedos is a free agent. And, you know, as you can read my thoughts on the expansion draft on soccerovergotham.com. I broke it all down for you. So I'd be shocked if Gotham rolled into next season with Abby and Mandy. I'd be very happy if they did, but I don't know. I don't see it happening. So having McClellan stick around, she most likely, or it's a very good possibility that she'd be on this roster next season. So rooting for her. Go Rutgers. All right. And just as you said, Jenna, shout out to all the independent content creators, and mostly like you and everyone else, like, who are mostly unpaid most of the time. They put their energy, their time, and their life into all this stuff. We, as a collective, we lift each other up. We lift this league up. And, you know, this league would not be where it is without all these independent content creators. We were there when nobody else was. Mm-hmm. And they can try to ignore us. They can try to act like we don't exist, but we are still here. And shout out to all of my podcast friends, Diaspora United, Shea Butter FC, Purple Pulse. I cannot get through this thing without you guys. And yeah, again, we grow this sport together. And the fans, as you said, Jenna, they're the best. We survived all this together. Let's keep going. Let's grow this thing. All right. We will see you soon. I don't know what's next. We're in this void. There's so much to talk about, but I don't know what's next.
Maybe we'll bring back the Twitter spaces. Can you even do that anymore? Or is that gone?
I think you can. Yeah.
Okay. We'll figure that out. But maybe we'll bring that back when we get like our off-season news dropping. Remember how fun that was last year? So maybe we could do that. Bring those back.
Yes, we should. All right, everybody. We will see you soon. Hi, everyone. This is Gary. Thank you for listening and supporting our project. Here are other ways you can support the show and connect with us. First, word of mouth is everything. So please share our show with anyone who might listen. Also, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify and review us on iTunes. You can purchase our merchandise at the TeePublic store. Join in the conversation on Twitter at OverGothamPod and Instagram at SoccerOverGotham. Lastly, you can email your thoughts and questions at SoccerOverGotham@gmail.com. Once again, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I just like slammed my knee into this corner of my desk and I feel a little nauseous, but talking about Midge's goal is making me feel so much better. No, I mean, Lynn's goal, Midge's assist.